everybody. Thank you, Sabrina, for inviting me to share and for all your service. She's been our Al-Anon liaison for the last 3 years, so that's a big job, so thank you. And thank you, committee, for having us and inviting us Al-Anons every year as well. So we were just talking about, you know, I get nervous about talking in front of people. And the person I was sharing it with, oh yeah, do you get nervous at this or that? And I'm going, no, I'm just nervous because my core issue is I have a fear of abandonment. So my fear is that you will all walk out. And then this nutcase goes,
well, the only issue we had one year is that everybody wants out of the
Wait, you got me? So I'm really grateful that Holly said she locked the doors because you're not leaving. So, all right, so here's the deal. Before, you know, before recovery, I would have said I came from this incredible, wonderful family with loads of love and kindness, and we were 8 kids, craziness. And that would have been my story, you know, like, wow, it was just a wonderful childhood. Today, I know different about that. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was an untreated Al-Anon, an overeater. There's alcoholism that is in our family from generations. My brother is an untreated alcoholic who says, yeah, I drink alcoholically, but it's okay. Which, you know, today I can love him and go, yeah, okay, I get that. I certainly couldn't have done that before. The first time, you know, I hear people tell their stories about alcoholism and they remember that first time they got that kick from alcohol. Well, the first time I got my Al-Anon fix was in fourth grade. And one of my teachers recognized me and recognized that I had something to offer. And I was like, wow, that feels so good that someone sees me. And I got addicted. I got addicted to approval from people. And I remember that just drove me and it filled a hole in me that I can remember from a young age of never feeling like I had anything to offer. So from that fourth grade teacher acknowledging me, I just needed more and more and more. And I became this really overachiever. In sixth grade, I wrote, directed, and starred in the sixth grade play. In high school, I graduated high school early. I was in sports. I graduated high school early, was in 3 sports, was in DECA, and worked. Like, I didn't think about that today. I'm like, what? I graduated college early, I got into management, career, perfect career for an Al-Anon, management. I worked 90 hours a week and it was fine, you know, it filled me. I mean, it just drove me to fix things. I got married in 1984. I asked the guy, I paid for the wedding. I got him a job so that he could help me pay for the wedding, okay? Oh God, yeah. So that is what got me to my first bottom. So my first bottom, I went to counseling. His brother was an active alcoholic. His brother's wife was very much involved with Al-Anon. And when I had this burnout, I got into some counseling. I got into some support groups. My childhood has some pretty intense abuse. I was ritually abused in the from a religion. I was sexually abused. And so I did a lot of counseling. And my sister-in-law actually invited me to an Al-Anon weekend. And I was like, well, I'll try it. And I went to this weekend, and I actually thought, oh my God, these women are so pathetic. I was just like, and the whole weekend, I was figuring, okay, I know how to fix her. Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah, okay. And I had them all sorted and taken care of. And I thought, this was not a relaxing weekend. The end of the weekend, they were all being, oh, so what if it was so relaxing? I'm like, jeez, I was so busy. I was exhausted. So I was like, that is not going to help me. That's not going to help me. So what I did was I got into some support groups around my ritual and sexual abuse. I got into some support groups around adult children of dysfunctional people. Like, at this point, I'm still thinking my dad's not an alcoholic. He just drinks a lot. You know, my aunts and uncles aren't alcoholics. They just drink a lot. You know, they just have a good time. They're just fun. And so I started to work on those kind of issues and was thinking, that's good enough. You know, I got that figured out. It's good enough. So during this time of recovery, I'm still married to this guy that I'm getting jobs for and taking care of and, you know, fixing. I started to think that he was having an affair. So here's the crazy thing about being an Al-Anon. It's like, you know it. You know something's wrong. But you gotta prove it in order for it to be real. Okay, so if you don't prove it, then it's not real. You know, there's a thing we call distorted thinking in Al-Anon, and that's my idea of distorted thinking. So I started trying to find out who he was having an affair with and how he was having this affair. The lengths I went were so sad. I mean, today I look at it and it's just so sad. There was one night he wasn't home at 3:00 in the morning. So I figured, he must be having an affair in someone in the complex. So if I just go and look in the windows of the people at 3:00 in the morning in my pajamas, I need to get dressed. I need to get dressed. You know, you think, well, maybe she can dress, but no. And I'm looking for him. And this is the weirdest thing. All of a sudden, I hear someone walking behind me, and now I'm like, oh God, I'm in my pajamas, and I'm getting, like, killed. It was him. So I don't know if he saw me. Oh my God. And pretend like I wasn't anywhere. And he goes, what are you doing? I'm in my pajamas. That's a typical Al-Anon situation. Like, I am trying to catch you. You don't catch me. Okay. Crazy things like that. One of the last things I saw that just helped me let go is I was actually like smelling his clothes and looking at his clothes to see if I could find out if he had sex with someone. I mean, the level that I degraded myself to catch him was just heartbreaking. I decided that I would end that marriage. After 2 or 3 times I decided to end, you know, I left and came back and left and came back and left and came back. Finally, I left. And what I realized is that, and this is the reason I left was I realized I was incapable of loving someone unconditionally, and that I was incapable of feeling love from someone. And that realization made it so painful to be in a relationship that I was like, I'm gonna not be in a relationship. That I'm so, and that's one of the great things about alcoholics, you know, you get to just go, okay, alcohol, I'm not gonna do it. I am addicted to people. And what I've realized today is I can't just eliminate people out of my life. But at that point in my life, I thought I could, and I thought that would be the answer. So I was free. Oh my God, 2 years I was single, and I was so happy, and I thought I was cured. I really did. I thought, oh, I'm cured. I don't have this disease anymore. And I met my current qualifier, who is my current husband. And he was different. He was a recovered alcoholic in recovery, living a program that I so respected. And I thought, wow, this, maybe I could open myself up to this person. And it didn't hurt that he was absolutely in love with me. It was just a great feeling. It was really wonderful. And we courted for 2 years and got married. And it was beautiful. But then it was as if a switch was turned on and my addiction came out full force. And as I said before, I feared he would leave me. It was always he was leaving me. You know, and I got absolutely crazy. Really nuts. I mean, like, if he went to the bathroom, I would be like, what are you doing in the bathroom? Okay, you're going to the bathroom, right? No. Well, don't close the door when you go to the bathroom. I mean, crazy stuff like this. One time, and if we get in arguments, his process, which is totally fine, is that he takes a time out and leaves. Well, that process of him taking care of himself totally triggers me because he's leaving me. And you can't leave me. You know, you can't leave me. I have memories of him, you know, dragging me like a little kid across the front lawn. Our neighbors must have thought we were nuts. Literally, he'd be like, Mary, I'm going. I have a time where, you know, like, he got out of a car. I was, like, driving. It was slow, but still, he got out of the car while I was driving. I'm like, can you do that? It was terrible. It was horrible. And my behavior escalated to the point where my Al-Anon bottom was he got in a very serious accident. And, oh, by the way, all this time I'm actually going to therapy and recovery support groups. He got hurt, yeah. And the doctors said, well, he's going to have a long period of recovery, like long, 6 months in bed, long. So we need someone to take care of him. Well, I can't do that. And I said, no, I can't do that. I said, no. Oh, sure you can. And his mom said, sure you can. And his sister said, sure you can. Both of them are nurses, by the way. And I finally said, okay, I will. And that was not good. It was not good. I got completely crazy. I wanted to control everything he did. He had a program. He was working with his sponsor. He had all these charts about his medication. I mean, he just did it just how you're supposed to do it, I guess, in AA. But I thought the way you're supposed to do it in AA is I am supposed to do all that. I'm supposed to control it. And I just got so crazy. At one point he said, I'm going to leave and go to my mother's. Well, you know. No. In my head, I literally was like, the only way you're leaving is in a pine box. Because you can't leave me. What will people think? That's where my head was like, what will people think that your wife can't take care of you? No, that's not possible. And I pushed him. I actually pushed him. And it terrified me. It terrified him. He was extremely vulnerable. And it was so abusive. He went to stay with his mother, and I went to an Al-Anon meeting the next morning. I wish I could say, like, oh, Al-Anon was so great, and I felt, but that's not my story. I was pissed off. I was really pissed off that he wouldn't let me take care of him, because, you know, that's why I got so angry. That's why I wanted to hurt him, was because he wouldn't let me take care of him. And now I have to do another program. I was like, I have all these programs I'm doing. Aren't I a great person? And now I have to do another one because he wouldn't let me take care of him. So it took me a while. But here's how I did it, okay? First thing was I learned detachment. I learned detachment. None of my other situations showed me how to do that. Like, you know, people would say, why does that bother you? What's the big deal? Just don't do it. But I couldn't explain it. I couldn't let it go. I couldn't not do it. And Al-Anon taught me detachment. And there's this little acronym, detachment. D is for don't. E is for ever. T is for think. A is for about. C is for changing. H is for him or her. Don't ever think about changing him or her. Now that's not mine. I heard that somewhere and it hit for me. And that is what was the first thing I did to give me freedom. Then I call this the four S's of my recovery, is I got a sponsor. And I got a sponsor really quickly because I was so angry. Some of you might not know Linus from the Peanuts, but, you know, he's got this big puff of dirt around him. And I had this big puff of anger around me. I was so angry. So needless to say, it was a little difficult to get a non-sponsor. But I got one, thank God. And the next thing she told me to do was get into service. My home group back in America is 100 people. And I absolutely felt invisible again. And with this anger and this chip on my shoulder, I was again in that place like, ah, you know, I'm all alone. So she told me set up the chairs. And you know what? I started setting up the chairs and I started to meet some people. And it was a great way for me to work on letting go of my anger. The next S is the steps. I definitely had to do those steps. And they taught me how to heal. They taught me how to heal all these wounds, all these holes in my heart. And my last S is sponsoring. And that teaches me how to practice. How to practice these steps. I know them. But it is really in sponsoring and doing service that I get to practice them. The other thing I learned that really stuck out to me is what I call the three P's. I pray, I pause, and then I proceed. And those really help me. Praying occupies my brain. Because my husband and I went down to Dresden last week It's a 6-hour drive. It took us 12 and a half. Six hours it took us to do 4 kilometers. And he was driving. Now, that is like a torture chamber for an Al-Anon. I mean, it's just torture. And I prayed because it occupied my brain. It kept my thinking on praying versus, maybe you should get in that lane. Oh, what about that lane? You know, because when the traffic is only moving like this, you know, you want to get in. That's me. But he is like, So pray. Pause helps me to breathe. Somebody sitting next to me today, I was getting nervous. She said, breathe. I forget to breathe. I really forget to breathe. And I just need to breathe. And proceed helps me to use the steps, call my sponsor, you know, practice. So the last thing I have to say is the results. The results of all this is I've got freedom, I've got serenity, I've got direction, and I have purpose. You know, what gave me my first fix was I got acknowledged, and that acknowledgement gave me purpose. And I thought that I had to get more and more acknowledgement to fulfill purpose. Today, my purpose is completely different. The freedom I have is I get to choose. I felt so victimized by alcoholics in my life. I felt that they constantly took away my choice, that I had to pick up the pieces, and I had to take care of my dad, and I had to do the stuff that they didn't do when they were drinking. And I just lost my choice. Al-Anon gave me my choice back, that I don't have to pick up the pieces anymore. I can let go and let people live with their own consequences. Never, ever, ever thought that was possible. I have serenity today. When I practice the tools, I get serenity. Even in that car, like, it was crazy. It was just crazy for me. And I could breathe, and I could practice the tools, and I got serenity. Direction. Oh, my gosh. You know, this program gives me direction. Prayer, meditation, meaning, service. You know, for the Al-Anon program, it talks about me having fun, taking breaks, relaxing, pampering myself. I mean, those four things were never in my vocabulary. I could not have fun until everybody else was fixed. And then once you all were fixed, then I could have fun. And you know, that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. So today I get to have fun, even if stuff is a wreck. You know, I can get to have fun. I live the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. So that's great. And my purpose. My purpose today is to gain a greater understanding of myself. You know, and that's what this program gives me. And I surround myself with people that help me do that. There's a group of people that I hang out with, and there's this a new Dutch game that it's about knowing yourself or something. And all the people in the game have a card, and they get to list the answers to this question. And so I got this question, and one of the questions was, I don't know, something about, you know, you're like, do you flick your hair? Do you fold your arms? Do you do this? Do you do that? And I picked one of them. Everybody else in the group picked flip my hair. And I was like, do I do that? Really? Really? Now, before Al-Anon, I would spend 15 minutes convincing those people that they were completely wrong. Now in Al-Anon, through the rest of the game, I actually recognize them. I flip my hair! And you know what? I get can admit it. You know, I know that's something little. I admit a lot of other things, controlling, manipulating, judging. But, you know, even something as simple as flipping my hair, I can admit today. And that last thing is that today I've learned, I'm not always there, but I have learned to let people love me, really love me. And I've learned to really love people. And to me, that is the most incredible gift of it. How am I doing on time? Do I need to, am I done?
Wrap up,
yes. So the last thing I'll say is, in closing, forgiveness is giving up the hope of a different past. And today, I can live that. And thank you all for letting me share.